Hey everybody, welcome to the Sailor Moon Crystal After Show here on AfterBuzz TV, Season 3, Episode 12, Infinity 11, Infinite Judge. So many titles all the time. We'll be breaking down the episode and talking about our predictions and such for the future, as well as the latest news and gossip in just a moment.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yay.
I'm gonna dance so I don't feel anything.
Oh, there we go. We got a light show going on. This is it. This is great. It's all happening in here. It's magical. There's pink lights. I feel it's very appropriate. Reminiscent of Double Moon Heartache.
Which was so badass.
So freaking so good.
And we got it more than once.
We did. Ooh. And I loved it dearly both times, even though it was equally ineffective. this episode hurt. It hurt so bad.
We could have started with Don't Fear the Reaper in retrospect.
I know, right? Seriously. Yeah, actually, our wonderful engineer Alexis had originally queued up Moon Pride, and I was like, I feel like I need a little Moon Pride to, like, pick me up and get me through this episode, because, there was a lot. There were many, many, many feelings involved. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sailor Moon Crystal After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. If you guys are listening on iTunes, that's great. We like iTunes users. Please leave us an iTunes review. We have many to share with you this week.
Oh.
So if you do leave us an iTunes review, we will indeed, of course, give you a shout out on the show. So you should do that thing. But if you are listening on iTunes, remember you can also watch us on YouTube so you can see our beautiful faces as well as hearing our lovely voices talk about our love of all things Sailor Moon. And you can also watch live at 10 p.m. on Monday nights, which is real fun, and we are following along with that live chat, as well as the hashtag ABTVSMC. Gotta love that alphabet soup.
So right.
I am Emma Fife. You can tweet at me at Emma Fife, and I am joined by the lovely Markeia McCarty.
Yes, and you can tweet at me at Markeia McCarty, MarkeiaMccarty. I'm on Instagram, and Snapchat is Darth Finmint.
And the adorable and delightful Megan Salinas.
Oh, adorable. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
So, this episode, someone tweeted a gif at me earlier of No Face from Spirited Away being washed over by the ocean, and there was text in the ocean that just said, feels, and I feel like that, like, very accurately sums up my feelings about this episode.
Yes. There's a Sailor Moon gif from the original 90s anime. It's from basically this arc of Sailor Moon just pounding her fist on the ground, and I feel like that gif has summed up a lot of, like, the shows that I've been watching lately.
Yeah.
Definitely this episode. For sure.
Man, like that one scene where, oh no.
Ladies, we gotta get it together.
But yep. It's like all of them mouth agape where they're just like, ah!
I know!
But this episode actually did use the shadows over the eyes very well. Unlike last week, this week's episode use of that was very effective.
It was that Sailor Uranus. I remember seeing that and also thinking, be like, yes, that's
how you
do it.
That's how you do it without it being weird.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, Questing Life in the chat says, my girl Markeia was right on the money with her prediction last week of Saturn getting somewhat of a transformation sequence.
I was like, oh my god, good for her. That's fantastic.
Well, we've only got like what, one more at this point?
Yeah,
it's like they had to have it happen.
Well, and it was good too, because the transformation sequence itself, it wasn't cheesy. Like the other girls' transformation sequences are glorious and wonderful and glittery.
No, this one
it didn't have that, like, woo, we're a girl power team. It was elegant and beautiful and terrifying.
Yeah. She's from the planet of ruin. It was exactly what it needed to be.
Well, and because even what we saw today was like more of a transformation sequence than she ever got in the 90s anime.
Exactly.
And even like just speaking about Sailor Moon S specifically, which was, you know, this sort of equivalent season, in that you see her for 3 minutes And then she jumps into Pharaoh 90 and sacrifices herself, basically. Like, you literally see her for 3 minutes.
Yeah, and she's a ghost for...
for half of that, exactly. So for 1 minute and 30 seconds, she's just a ghost. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, what's up, Sailor Moon? It's cool. I'm just gonna go sacrifice myself now.
Way to screw up everything.
Yeah, but like not in this. She was very threatening. Like, her transformation sequence, I love, like, she floated up, but it felt like just someone you don't want to see, like a demon just like raising out of the earth.
Yeah, well, she said, you know, I'm always the uninvited guest.
Yes.
Which
yes.
I was like, oh.
What a lonely existence. Like, she's so unwanted. It's like, because it's like, oh, okay, everything has to start over again. Yeah. Kind of person.
And she's probably saying, like, I never asked for this. I never asked to be the uninvited guest. Yes. Hotaru was supposed to die a long time ago.
Yeah, she said that I was never supposed to awaken, but everything's been twisted just in small ways. It's been twisted and it's changed. Yeah. And okay, I can talk about it now.
Yeah.
Chibi Moon's mom.
Oh my god! Everyone is freaking out in the chat about that. About the mama thing. Yeah, Mika Sailor Moon. Omar. Thomas Ricardo.
Anytime Chibiusa refers to Sailor Moon as mom.
Well, because this is the thing, is she doesn't really, you know? So it's like...
Yeah, she doesn't do it. She calls herself
everyone,
Usagi.
Yep. Yeah, Shaded Gamer, Natalie Garcia. There's so much just like everyone talking about that mama moment.
Because she does kind of think of them as like two different
she
people.
She does. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, you get
Usagi's
totally
her big sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I mean... And then it's like, with that mom that happened, and then it, like, the next scene was Sailor Uranus, like, no,
don't even get me started. So it was like the perfect storm of, I got really upset because Mamoru got really upset. So meanwhile, everyone else is being like, Sailor Moon, Sailor Moon, Sailor Moon, and he's like, Usa, no! So he's like not even calling her Sailor Moon because he's so emotional about what she's about to do. So basically, Pharaoh 90, everything is ruined. He is trying to assimilate the Earth. And her plan, basically, is to dive inside of him with the chalice and with the silver crystal and basically release its powers from within him.
She wants to detonate herself.
Yeah, basically. Blow up the monster from the inside.
There's other options.
Yeah.
Just like, wait, no, the space-time continuum!
Yeah. So, yeah, she dives inside of Pharaoh 90 and everyone is, like, losing it because it's crazy. But so it starts with, like, Mamoru Tuxedo Mask getting really, really, really upset. And then it's, and he's with Chibiusa because he's just saved her from falling to her death. And she is like, you know, Sailor Moon, Sailor Moon. And when she said mama, it was like, oh.
Yeah. I've got goosebumps right
now. Yeah, and then as you say, Markia, the Haruka moment where she's like, all I wanted to do was meet you and protect you with these hands.
Oh
my god,
they
I am
look like
dying.
Big strong hands, don't they?
Yep.
And then you just think of imagery of like slipping through fingers and it's like slipping through hands and it's like, no, and she's already gone. And then like everything starts resonating, the talismans, and then that makes you think, okay, so when she dies, that happens?
Like, well, here's the thing is, I think that there is a parallel here, which is why you are very much led to believe that at this point Sailor Moon is dead, though somebody, Steven underscore Zek, did point out to me on Twitter today, he's like, but if she was really dead, wouldn't she be used to disappear?
Yeah, exactly. and that's why I was like, space-time continuum is that she would have faded away.
I think we're relying too much on Back to the Future with that one. I think there's a possibility that if she died, since Chibi was still there, I think if she tried to go back to her time...
I feel like that only works with multiverse theory. Okay. Like, you're thinking Back to the Future 2 as opposed to Back to the Future 1.
Yeah, that, and I'm thinking of, like, Cable, you know, traveling through, you know, the Marvel universe, and it's like, hey... we can change things and still have someone exist there. Yeah. And she's so powerful, she might be able to exist as an entity. But if she went back into the future, it wouldn't be the future.
It wouldn't be the same future.
It wouldn't be. In fact, it'd just be a big old
You can never go home again. You can never go home again.
But you can shop there.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway. So I do think, you know, there is this parallel that sort of supports the idea that Sailor Moon could, in fact, be dead, is that this is exactly like how it went down at the end of the Silver Millennium. So basically at the end of the Silver Millennium, Princess Serenity died and Metalia was just dominating everything. And so that is when all of the Outer Guardians were like suddenly summoned to the moon and they're like, oh no, what are we doing here? And the talisman started resonating and boom, Sailor Saturn just descended to murder everyone and everything.
All she has to do is lower her scythe and boom, universe reset, done, over.
Oh, well, that game planet. Over. That planet,
Yep.
Yep. So, what I really appreciated from this episode, too, is before she even does that, right before a cliffhanger, you really do get the sense that this person is powerful enough to do that.
Oh, yeah. No, she's got everything tight and locked in.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like, when she showed up, and we got that sort of mini transformation sequence, which was really fun, and then she just starts throwing, and she is like cold. You know what I mean? Like, this girl is not Hotaru at all.
No.
Not in the slightest. No. And she looks at all of them with basically no recognition other than like, oh yeah, you're the Sailor Guardians.
Which is so funny because Hotaru had like felt such compassion and felt such a need to protect them, which was we assumed was stemming from her being a Sailor Guardian and the power that she was deriving from Sailor Saturn. But no, that's just Hotaru having a big heart.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you see this version of her and you're like, what happened to this sweet little girl who was using her soul to protect Chibiusa and the other Sailor Guardians? Where did she go? She's dead now.
Well, something else that is very different for Sailor Saturn as opposed to anybody else. I mean, everybody is who they are no matter whether or not they've changed into a Sailor Guardian. While with Sailor Saturn, she's somebody completely different when she changes into a Sailor Guardian. So there is no kind of secret identity thing.
No.
It's a completely different personality.
Yeah.
She is the closer.
Yeah, that's what she is. You sort of get the impression that even if the Outer Guardians had gone through with their plan to kill Hotaru to prevent Sailor Saturn from reawakening, who we find out from Sailor Saturn was never meant to reawaken because Hotaru was supposed to die in that fire.
Yeah, so they would have been successful.
Oh, Oh, definitely. It would have worked. Definitely. It's like, so she, you sort of get the impression, though, that even if she, Sailor Saturn had died within Hotaru, it would have been reborn again. Like, all you do is, like, buy yourself some time.
Yeah, you get the impression that no matter what, if Master Pharaoh 90 had been, you know, consuming the Earth this way or assimilating with the Earth this way, that the talismans would have activated and summoned her anyway.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Whoo! Yeah.
That is the distinct impression that we get.
I'm just really astounded that she's on or off. That's it. I mean, we were talking about you know, the Outer Senshi being, you know, on opposite ends of the spectrum where it's like black or white. That's all that they see. There is no gray for them. She is really like that. It's like, okay, great. I'm awake. We end it all.
Yep. I'm here.
That's true. You are,
I'm here. Party's over.
Farrah Patridge in the chat asks a very good question, which is, so basically, in the midst of this fight, the reason that Sailor Saturn ends up being summoned is because Pharaoh 90 breaks through the barrier that the Outer Guardians have set up, and Farrah Patridge asks, but let's put this question out there, how come no one in Tokyo is aware this is happening around them?
I'm not gonna lie, when you see it start spreading throughout the city and you see it consume the world, very, very quickly, or encompassed the glow very quickly. I'm like, oh, man.
I know, it wasn't encompassing everything. It was just, it was still
It cut to an outside shot from, of like, the space, world? And it encompassed the entire globe.
Yeah. Okay.
Very, right, very
I missed that cut. Yeah, but yeah. I will say, though, we are... high above these really tall skyscrapers
in one particular
city, we're not going to see the human fallout because that's all the way down here and we're all the way up here floating.
That is fair. So that is totally fair.
Unless they actually do an actual cut to that, which would be horrifying. Seeing this purple sludge.
Is that a thing we
want to
see?
It's like eating people purple sludge. But they chose not to do that, so you can kind of
distance yourself and go, everything's fine.
Well, it's humans are ants.
Though another fair point brought up by Last Haven 7 in the chat is in regards to Sailor Saturn, to us talking about how she is this very, like, cold, detached being. She says, you know, Hotaru is dead, so is Mistress Nine, so really all that's left of her is... Saturn, basically, at this point. Because, I mean, like, her soul broke free of Mistress Nine, so she's free of that. Hotaru's body is gone, super gone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is, she's just kind of, all that's left is Saturn.
We were talking about Evangelion and Madoka last week.
Yes.
And I feel like, and we were Sailor Moon is so different than Madoka. and then this episode happens, and it's like, maybe not as much as we thought.
Yeah, she did say there was a lot of someone in the chat said that Walpurgisnacht appeared. I think I pronounced that right. There's a lot of crazy Germany sounding names in Madoka, and that's like German dash E, not Germany the country. Anyway, moving on. It was so intense, the just appearance of Sailor Saturn. I just absolutely loved. You know what else I really loved?
What's that?
That I was talking about that I wanted to see last week. Tuxedo the Smoking Bomber.
Yeah,
yes. We were talking about that. Yeah, Tuxedo power happened.
It did.
He flew in.
Yep.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
Where it's just like...
He had the cape.
Moment, he like wraps himself in his cape, like before he does the smoking bomb.
Was like a full Dracula moment. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where it's just like he thought he was gonna turn into a bat and like fly off into the night.
The terror that flaps in the night.
Darkwing Duck.
He used to do that all the time.
Darkwing Duck.
Cape moves to somebody's head when they're wearing a cape.
Yeah, everybody was throwing out everything that they had, and I loved that. And then, you know, you were just sitting there waiting to be like, come on, you know you want to do it. And then La Smoking Bomber.
And, it was, I don't remember what the suggestion was last week, but it was very Kamehameha. It was so fantastic.
It was. No, it really was. Like, it was like a combination of, like, Dracula, Batman, and Goku, and I was, like, all about it. All about it.
More, please.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, just, Tuxedo Mask in general was so great in this episode because you got to see that very strong attack that became part of like the magical rainbow attack that they launched at Pharaoh 90, which unfortunately he absorbed and it made him stronger, but like in the moment it was really beautiful.
For one wonderful brief moment you're like, yay, go team.
And then they start just dropping off. And it was just like, wow, so nothing will work. Nothing will work for this guy.
Yeah, you can throw something at him, he'll just absorb it, and then breaks through the barrier, he starts assimilating the planet. I will say, though, probably the creepiest part of the episode was the part where he did absorb Mistress Nine, or like the giant angel-esque husk that was her.
Yeah, she was all about that. Yeah. She was like, yes, finally! You know, with spikies and everything.
Yeah, she was real excited to have a creepy gem fusion with Pharaoh 90.
Yeah. And then
the mouth, and then like,
and then her body is just like hanging there, just like up on this little pedestal that he made. It's like, that's just disturbing. That is so unsettling.
Yeah, well, any kind of like, what they called it, black lava that smells like death?
Yes!
And it's like, yay, embrace me. No.
Nope. Yeah, I love that Pharaoh 90 really is, he is literally just like sludge.
Yeah.
It's like purple people
and eating those
sludge.
Those eyes.
Hikari Tenno in the chat says Tom Cruise is absorbing the world. That is in reference to the many Scientology references that have been made on this show. Yeah, it was, I mean, you just... This episode, there was not a lot of moments of hope.
No. I thought Luna was going to lose her ish.
Oh, I know.
You know, because she's still there, like, in the control room.
Still
you know,
typing.
Her Artemis and Diana, I mean, they're cats. They're smart, talking cats.
They're doing their best.
And could you just, like, her little cat heart was probably breaking.
Well, and... especially like being so far away and unable to do anything and being very removed from
being unable to do anything anyway. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. You can't scratch a Master Pharaoh 90. You can't pull like one of those Artemis attacks to distract.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, actually, in regards to Pharaoh 90, Andre Drew in the chat says, can we talk about how we got more Pharaoh 90 here than in the 90s anime where he was just a planet? Actually, as far as I can tell, in the 90s anime, he was a beam of pink light, and that was it.
We saw him as a nebulous blob occasionally.
Yeah. Sort of.
Occasionally.
Yeah, but he wasn't doing damage on this level.
He didn't assimilate the Earth.
Yeah, he didn't
and,
go,
like, you know, consume a monster that he created.
He didn't go Borg on everybody.
Nah, that's true. This. That's 100% you know, what's happening here. Except that, like, instead of assimilating individuals, like, all the individuals are just going to become part of Pharaoh 90 and the Tau Nebula. Yeah. Yeah.
Which, oh my god, does that make, like, Sailor Moon look cutest?
We are the Borg.
Yes.
Although, speaking of that, I really did like that callback, because otherwise, like, I had almost forgotten that Mercury had just come across a galaxy in a box at one point.
Pocket-sized black hole!
Just like, and so it was really cool to see her recognize it and go, I've seen this.
Yeah, we didn't realize it was foreshadowing at the time about the, you know, the Tau star system until she, like, did that flashback, and it was like, oh, man, we should have realized that this was coming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. No, definitely. And that actually is another thing that I really, really enjoyed about this episode was I felt like all of the girls had stuff to do. Like, I felt like it was a very nice sort of breakup of activity.
Yeah, that it was a nice balance. The inner guardians got to participate in the fight. The outer guardians had that moment where the barrier broke, and then they're, you know, they're all broken afterwards as well. And of course, Tuxedo and Chibiusa, and of course, Usagi come to the realization that they're all out of energy, and that because they gave her energy for her transformation, that all of their power was still residing in her, and so she had to be the one to do this.
Yeah.
The fact that she could call the chalice again,
it
makes me wonder to see if there's another level of Super Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. Well, in that flashback that she has too, or when she is realizing, she's like, they've all used up all of their power, and it's because of me, and they've spent their whole last lifetime, they're spending their whole this lifetime protecting me. It's my turn to return the favor.
Yeah.
Oh.
I did like it. I can't remember if it was... It wouldn't have been changed in the last one. Just quick tangent.
Yeah.
The intro, they changed it to Super Sailor Chibi Moon.
Yes, they did! Oh,
so, happy thing. Happy
thing. Yeah, no, I think it was just this one. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah.
What I will say, too, is that the uses of flashbacks were actually pretty well integrated. Mm-hmm. Like, if I were to make one complaint, I would say, like, I didn't need to see Double Rainbow Moon Heartache twice. You know, I didn't need to see it twice in the exact same anime. It's beautiful.
Yeah, but it's like if they were going to do it twice in the episode, the second attack should have been in real time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, again, it was absolutely beautiful. I could watch it for days, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I just not that. That's my one complaint. If I had to be all nitpicky about this episode,
actually, that's a great complaint.
Every other flashback that was utilized in this episode to pad for time, because let's face it, that's what flashbacks are supposed to do. When animation is expensive, I feel like was really well utilized and was emotionally very effective.
I'm gonna hop onto your complaint because I have one of my own.
Go right
ahead. since this is, you know, the second to last episode for, you know, the season and everything, they could have had all of the powers in real time, and they should have to like up the danger.
I agree with you. I think that actually has been my biggest disappointment overall with this season
is that there's not more real time attacks.
Because in the last two seasons, when the animation was kind of janky, they had real time attacks all the time, and it was awesome. So I would have definitely liked to see more real time attacks, but alas,
there's a trade off here, and we understand that everybody has to work within the confines of a budget and a schedule. So we get it. And I will say that overall, the animation has been elevated this season to a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful thing. In my opinion, the animation is so much better than it was the previous two seasons.
Oh, yes. Without a doubt.
Oh, definitely.
It's gorgeous. So, but the trade-off is that they do have to cut corners in certain places, and so it's like, I understand, but come on, guys, just go the extra mile. We're in the finale territory here. Just go the extra mile, just a little bit.
Get it together, Toei. Jeez. Jeez.
Pretty please. We'll be eternally grateful.
So more real-time attacks when it's in the finale. And great. So do that for the other seasons. Yeah. And we're good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you are an animator for Toei and you also speak English and are listening to this podcast, that is what we want.
Also, thank you very much. This is
also thank you. We love everything about this show, except we do want more real-time attacks. But new attack, number one, La Smoking Bomber. Beautiful. Perfection. Everything I ever dreamed. But also Sailor Saturn's attack, Death Ribbon Revolution, which there is a lot of controversy over the translation of.
Really?
Yes.
Another translation.
Yes.
What was the translation in the manga?
Well, in the Kodansha volumes of the manga, if I'm remembering correctly, it is Death Ribbon. Huh. It is Death Ribbon in the video games. And it sort of makes sense because there are literal ribbons that come out when she does the attack.
I did not question it at all.
So there's no controversy on the death, so I'm guessing it's the ribbon.
Ribbon, yes. Right. It has also been translated as Death Reborn Revolution.
Okay.
Uh-oh. And that sounds familiar. In Japan, it's pronounced very similarly, so nobody.
Reborn ribbon. You know what? I'll take either one. It's fine, guys.
Death Reborn. No, I don't like Death Reborn.
Like Death Ribbon?
I like Death Ribbon.
I remember thinking it was Death Reborn.
That doesn't make sense to me.
And then playing the Sailor Moon video game, Sailor Moon Another Story, where it was Death Ribbon, and I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Death Reborn makes more sense if this is her attack to
hit end the world,
reset.
Yes!
That makes more sense.
Everything is definitely reset. Then, okay, death.
Death and reborn. That's the next step after that.
The way everybody's acting, it's like, this is the end.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, there isn't, Queen Serenity to wrap them up in bubbles and have them be reborn on what's the next available planet they can be reborn on.
The reset button was hit, they would all be reincarnated again, because this is a very cyclical thing.
Earth would be blasted. Earth would be what the moon would be, so there'd be nowhere that they could go.
But the thing is I'm gonna get real deep into Sailor Moon headcanon. I basically was under the impression that, like, the Silver Millennium, all that goodness, took place before the, like, iteration of Earth that we now live in. So that was, like, before dinosaurs or anything. And that when Sailor Saturn reset the universe, it started again from zero. And that's how we ended up with Earth as we know it today.
Was it a universe reset? I thought it was just a planetary reset.
Oh, I'm under the impression it's, like, a universe reset.
I thought it was a planetary reset, and it, like, blasted the moon.
Oh, no. She destroyed all the planets.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a little bit of confusion on that, and I remember while you guys were gone, we were talking about it, and there were a few people who were like, get your story straight, ladies. Yeah. So, okay. Well, to be
the
fair, though,
higher,
yeah.
Though.
To be fair, there is a little bit of room for interpretation in terms of like what were the actual ramifications.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was gonna say I don't know that that's 100% true, but I always was under the impression that it was like this ends everything.
It seems to be the case, given how high the stakes are in this episode.
Yeah, and I want to say in Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, where Princess Serenity actually sort of fulfills the Sailor Saturn role, that it was pretty clear that it was like everything, because we know the Earth was definitely like affected, because like the Earth and the Moon and the battle between the two of them, and though to be fair, it did all go down on the Moon, but you know, Moon's not a planet, so
but now there's no life on it anymore.
Although,
I mean, there's
still ruins. There's clearly some so maybe the way that she resets it, it's just kind of like like in Halo, where it just kills all life, but like the planets themselves
stay,
still exist.
And life has
so
to begin anew.
So they can be reborn.
Definitely reborn. There we go. We've solved the mystery. Sailor Saturn is like a halo.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I mean, there's
got to get rid of the flood
again. There are definitely things in Sailor Moon that it's like not super duper clear, and
but you can get the gist of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Go, okay,
things end. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
So this,
exactly.
This is a bad thing because we don't want all of these things to just end. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's everyone talking about that. Last Haven 7 says, it has to at least end the Earth and the Moon, so it probably ended the whole solar system.
Solar system, like, reset?
Yeah. The
universe reset.
Though. Yeah, like, and then, who? There was another good one. I don't know. I'm trying to credit the right... Oh, Dalton says Saturn is the Big Bang. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. She certainly is.
That's fun. Yep. I like that. Well, she can. She definitely has like the personality for it.
Exactly.
Like she is. If there's anybody that's a Big Bang, it would be Sailor Saturn.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the thing that honestly my favorite thing about this episode was just how menacing they made that character feel.
Yeah, because it was like... It was like, this is business to her.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this isn't personal. This is business. I'm here, and this is what happens. And it's like, you can't argue with that. You can't reason with that.
No, and you certainly can't overpower her.
there's nothing. You might as well throw a rock at her at that point, because it's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really appreciate the moment with Sailor Moon right before she chooses to dive into Master Pharaoh 90. You know, just that moment where she looks at Mama Chan and smiles. Mm. And you can tell exactly what she's about to do. And I really like the way this is done in comparison to a sort of similar moment during the Dark Kingdom arc. I remember watching that bit because I hadn't read the manga, or I hadn't gotten to that point in the manga.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And I remember being really angry because I was like, the Sailor Moon I know, if she's going to sacrifice herself, she's going to sacrifice herself on behalf of the entire planet and everyone she, you know, and everyone she loves. And it just didn't feel right to me. This 100% feels right to me, like something she would do.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I love how Mamu-chan was just like, he knew what she was going to do. And his whole thing was, I wish I hadn't let you do it alone.
Exactly. Yes. Like,
I should have been with you.
While he's holding their daughter. And it's just like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that, you know, their relationship is a partnership.
It
that's
is.
What
it
a,
is.
That's
it
what
very
a
much
relationship
is.
Should be.
It very much is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Team Tsukino was crushing it this week.
Oh, fantastic.
Until they weren't. Because one
Until
third of them
decided
to sacrifice herself. I also liked the sort of like absolute conviction and bravery with which Sailor Moon went into Pharaoh 90.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, there was no hesitation. As soon as she figured it out, she's like, I know what I got to do.
Yeah. Like, this is the only thing that can be done because they tried everything else.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I got my sacrifice.
And they're out of time. If, like, the barrier had been maintained, they conceivably could have figured something out. But there is no time left.
Yeah.
No, because the Earth has been assimilated. Yep. It's like those people are being dissolved.
Conceivably.
Dissolved in the purple people eating sludge.
Yeah.
It's like the Blob. Like, did anybody see the 1980s version of the Blob?
Yes.
I really hope that's not what's happening on the surface of the planet right now.
Man. Yeah. Or even that one with the, not Matt Damon. Not Matt Damon, the other one. Ben Affleck, he did it was a rendition of Dean Koontz's book.
Oh, Phantoms!
Phantoms!
Yeah. Don't ask me why I know that movie.
Because that's you just made a connection in your brain, and I'm sorry. Because that's going to come back to you now.
So the chat's on a little bit of a delay with YouTube, but at I Love Yous Hun. I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong, but it's a good handle. Says relationship goals in reference to Megan talking about how Usagi and Mamoru have this beautiful partnership. Mm-hmm. Shaded Gamer followed up with, can jumping into dark lava be considered relationship goals? No, but the passion with which Mamoru feels he has failed Usagi on some level is a relationship.
Also, just don't do that.
Man, but who was, like, ready for him to kind of set Shibby Moon to the side?
Hi, Jimmy is up.
Like, be strong.
Yeah.
We love you.
If you guys are listening and not watching on YouTube, you really do need to watch this episode on YouTube because Markia just like made a like dolphin dive like motion and dived partially
like
behind the table.
Like swimmer, like I'm gonna dive into the pool.
So
that would have been terrible,
that horrifying.
Yep. I could see that happening, but I do also feel like, because of Chibiusa, Mamoru feels like he needs to, like, stay. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but still, that would have been horrible.
Oh, God.
Yep. Yeah. Any other things you guys want to touch on before we roll into some predictions?
I know people are not enjoying the outro.
Yes! Thank you for bringing that up.
I know they still aren't. I will say that having that outro after all of these feels, I was like, okay, it's all right. Because his wet shirt, took some mask.
Right.
Okay, he's dancing with light. I'm good.
Perfect.
I'm good now. All right.
See, I sort of agree with all the people. Like, I like that ending, I do, but like when it ends on a really emotional note, like I wanna stay in that dark place.
Yeah, it's tonal dissonance. It really is. It's almost like if they had stuck with the first ending from the season, then like that would have been more, in my mind, more fitting.
It would have been more like
an easier transition. Yeah.
Well, for me, it's like if you watch like a really good horror movie and then you have to watch a comedy afterwards, that might just be me, where it's like it affects you on like a molecular level.
You're like, I don't know what I'm feeling.
So, yeah, it's like, oh man, Conjuring 2, I need to watch some Kevin Hart movies or something.
Definitely, me and my friend watched some Disney movies after we sat down for the first Insidious. I will say, it ended on such a dark note. I will say that the only other thing I want to add about this episode, Haruka, I know we already talked about it, but so good. And this is probably the first time in a long time I have watched Sailor Moon and just been fully engrossed and just stared at the TV.
You know what it is the pacing of this episode was perfect because the whole thing was just one battle. And ultimately it's like there isn't that much to talk about because there wasn't really a lot that happened plot-wise. It was just a really epic battle.
It was.
And you got little snippets of everybody getting to kind of do things on their own. And I loved all the interaction between the inners and the outers. And I especially loved that they always had like Uranus and Venus in the same frame, because I feel like Uranus is like sort of the leader of the outers as much as they have one.
Yeah, she's the general of the outers. Definitely. And Venus is the general of the inner guardians. It makes sense that they would be the ones to communicate and help and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, totally.
I will say, I love the love that the outro is getting in the
I know, I was going to say, everyone in the chat is like, what are you talking about? We love the outro.
And Karam Lant, Backstreet Tux mask, what's not to like?
All right.
I
like that.
I mean, it literally, it's like frame for frame a Backstreet Boys music video.
depending on which Backstreet Boys music video there was an actual Dracula in one.
Yeah. That's very true. That is true.
But yeah, no, this is probably I haven't felt like this watching Sailor Moon since the 90s. End of the S arc, in all honesty, where it's just, you're just staring at the TV and it's just like, I can't believe what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it really feels like we're done. Like the world is over.
Yeah. It's like, how do you come back from this?
I know.
How can you come back from this? I mean, we'll find out next week.
Yeah.
And those that have read the manga know.
What happens.
Well, I guess we'll talk about it.
Yeah, let's roll into some predictions, shall we? There it is.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
What was that Akira moment where Sailor Moon is sitting on the thing and a beam of light is coming down just like Akira? I don't like that. Don't make comparisons to Akira show. Don't do that to me.
Man. Okay, so I'm
Tetsuo.
Tetsuo. Okay, I think what's gonna end up happening.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, Sailor Saturn. Keeping in mind, I've not read the manga because I've chosen not to.
Yeah.
I just wanted to experience
Exactly. So. Support that decision 100%.
I have no problem with that decision.
Yeah.
Okay, so I believe that Sailor Saturn, the Silence Glaive is going to drop, but something's going to happen where maybe Sailor Moon in ghost form or something like grabs a hold of her and like, you are a Sailor Guardian, and it pours all her Usagi love, you know, onto her. And so Sailor Saturn makes the decision, like she kind of warps her power a little bit, and she takes out Master Pharaoh 90, but since she was supposed to destroy everything, she like absorbs that back into herself and kills herself.
I think it's something along those lines. I feel like definitely Sailor Moon is the one that's stopping her from dropping her scythe for sure, because we see that it looks like there's this force of wind that's preventing her. Although who knows, that might be Haruka just saying no, not yet, using her wind powers. But yeah, I feel like Sailor Moon is going to appeal to her. And that, you know, just say basically, no, we can't give up on this world just yet.
Right.
And then, like, she'll take down Master Pharaoh 90. But there isn't anything left of the person that she was. As we said, Hotaru's body is gone. And so, since she didn't necessarily fulfill her purpose, there is no more, there's, like, nothing to sustain her for very long.
Yes, yep.
So maybe her body just dissipates into that little ray of light. I don't know.
Aww. Oh, man. Well, you have to think, even if there was, like, a baby Hotaru, there's no Professor Tomoe to take care of baby Hotaru. Well,
the outers would have to adopt her, and they could all be a big, happy family, and it'd be great.
Yeah. No, it totally, totally, as I say, I mean, because I remember reading this, because all of this was available in manga form before it was ever on US TV, and, like, this was a little early in my anime fandom for me to really start getting into fan subs. I had fan subs of Sailor Moon S, of Sailor Moon Stars rather, because we didn't. We never got Sailor Stars, so
I feel justified.
Yeah, I did. I did have Sailor Stars tapes, but this I had. You know, I read the manga long before I ever saw the anime, and I do remember like getting to the end of this manga act and just feeling like, Even though I knew there was more because Sailor Moon was done at this point, or it was close to, no, it was totally done at this point. And, cause this was like 1999 probably. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, if I did not know there was more, like I would truly believe that like this, we were just done.
Now, could you imagine what it was like being a teenager at the time, or like a young girl at the time that this manga was coming out originally?
Or young boy.
Really just any fan of this series at the time the manga was coming out sequentially, like however long the time was between issues.
Yeah, you reach that ending panel and you're like...
because we have the benefit of like... living further on down the line where it's like, Sailor Moon already existed in its entirety by the time we all got into it, basically.
Yes.
And same with things like Dragon Ball Z. And so we know that things are coming down the line because of the power of the internet.
Yeah, I know.
But like, to be a fan at that time, to not know, oh my God, that must have been traumatizing.
Yeah, no, most definitely. We have got a bunch of iTunes reviews read.
Yay!
Yes, so first of all, I want to thank at PW Gregory on Twitter for informing me that he had left us a review. He is a UK listener, so he left us a review in the UK iTunes store, which we cannot see. So he tweeted me a screen cap of his and somebody else's review. So we actually have two reviews in the iTunes UK store. So here we go. First of all, one awesome podcast, ! From Allison Manifold. I'm an Aussie girl listening in the UK, and I love your explanation of each episode of Crystal. I feel like I can really get my Sailor Moon nerd on with my podcast friends. Keep it up, guys. Can't wait for next week. And then the other one is brilliant, ! 5 stars from Paul Gregory. Once again, the AfterBuzz pulls off another perfect review show to one of my favorite programs, and it's really cute because it's spelled like British favorite with a U and programs, P-R-O-G-R-A-M-M-E-S, ever. Informative and funny as always. Aww. So that is from the UK iTunes store. Now to... go to the American iTunes store.
From across the pond.
So this is in the U.S. iTunes store. We have got, let's see. Lots.
goodness.
Let's see. Okay, so first is Moon Prism Power with 2 R's from Puozi. I love the dynamic, diverse panel. The fact that they have two people who watch the 90s anime watching the Crystal series without reading the manga. You are all amazing, and it makes me happy knowing there are Moonies from the east to the west to the north and the south. Love you all.
Aww, love.
Mooney Maniacs by Reflex 123. These are all 5-star reviews, by the way. My Sailor Moon experience was a very limited thing back in the 90s, so I didn't know the whole story with Sailor Moon Crystal. Having gotten to the point where I'm definitely in unknown territory, it's wonderful to have excited hosts. They know the material, they explain it well, and they make anything I might have missed fun, even if I didn't catch the connections to the old series. I love you guys. In parentheses, you seem to be on all my favorite after shows too, so life just works out well that way, smiley face. One of my favorites by Petteach32. I stumbled onto this YouTube looking for Sailor Moon stuff. It's the first AfterBuzz I listened to and got hooked on, which led me down the rabbit hole of all the other anime titles in the AfterBuzz catalog. The ladies really know their stuff, and even when it's a really emotional episode, they keep it fun and entertaining. I highly recommend this for everyone. And finally, on behalf of the moon, I commend you! Point by DivaTree78. I want to thank all of you for doing such an amazing job with these podcasts. I've listened to all of them in the last 3 weeks, and it's been an amazing adventure. I discovered Sailor Moon in 1996 and have been a huge fan ever since. I hope you guys consider doing a podcast on the Sailor Moon R movie one day. It's my favorite.
It is really good.
It's pretty good. It's basically the best thing to come out
of the
90s. The
old dub or the new dub or the original Japanese.
Yeah, well, it hasn't. They are going to dub it, but it hasn't come out with the Viz dub yet.
I do look forward to it.
Let's bust open that original VHS.
Yep.
Because you know we all have it.
Yeah, yep. Again, just want to thank you for being true fans, for letting us join you all for this awesome ride, Mach and I, which is the first part of the Sailor Stars song.
Aww.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for all of the love on iTunes, both here and from afar, and it just, you know.
It feels great.
It does. Yeah, it feels great.
And people using the hashtag and, you know, direct tweeting us about, like, just how excited they are to hear the show and talk about stuff and sending us screen caps and
gifts,
posts and, from Tumblr and things like that. It's just fantastic.
It's pretty great. Couple of really, really quick news and gossip items. One of them is not really Sailor Moon related, but the first one is literally like an hour after we wrapped up this show last week. The official announcement was made for the release date and the title of the next Seiramu. So it is going to be called Amor Eternal, and it opens on October 15th in Tokyo. So it'll run in Tokyo, then in, I think, Fukuoka, and then Osaka. Let me see. Yes. So it'll be October 15th through 23rd in Tokyo, October 29th and 30th in Fukuoka, and November 4th through the 6th in Osaka. This is the first time they've done Fukuoka. They've done Tokyo and Osaka, and then typically, usually in January, they have a Shanghai performance as well, which is pretty neat.
Nice.
Yeah, and of course, we all knew it was going to happen, but they did officially announce that Yuga Yamato will be returning to the role of Tuxedo Mask. Thank goodness, because otherwise people would riot. And all of the Outer Guardians will be back as well, which is really exciting because, oh, that Sailor Pluto. God, she's so good. I can't handle it. And then in another little, this is actually space-related news. I don't know if you guys heard today about the Mini Moon.
What? No, I missed this.
There is an asteroid that has been within our moon's orbit,
God.
Like attached to it that NASA has now deemed a mini moon. So it's really funny to look up mini moon today and have it not be pictures of Chibiusa. The top results are this article about
the
mini moon.
Fantastic. Yep. I love that.
So there you go.
I love that so much.
Yep. Sent that to us. I'm looking at a moon and a chibi.
Kiki on Twitter.
Grinning Kiki on Twitter. Thank you for sending that. That's fantastic.
And Peter Aguilar, I see your comment in the chat there. We'll consider it. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so that's it, guys, for this week. Next week's the last episode of this season.
So soon. When did that happen?
I don't know.
Because we didn't have to wait every 2 weeks.
You know what? That's exactly what it is. I'm sad. I'm not going to be sad yet. But anyway, Megan, where can people find you on the internet?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out.
Markeia?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, MarkeiaMccarty. Also Snapchat, Darth Thin Mints. I'm on WWE Raw Recap Show. That's Mondays before this, actually, at 8, if you want to join us on that. And if you like live comedy, my group, Big Yellow Taxi, has a show tomorrow at Pack Theater, 8 p.m. It's a pay what you can show, and it's Taxi Cab Confessions meets Improv, so you should give that a tryout.
Awesome. I'm Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet at my name, and I'm going to spell it slowly because people will complain that I say it too fast. So it's EMMAFYFFE. All of those are F's. As in Frank, no S's, as in Snake. You can find me on my other Sailor Moon podcast, Love and Justice, a serious Sailor Moon podcast, where we did, in fact, do an episode about the Sailor Moon R movie, where Kaori Takei, who was the lead host for this show last season, was our guest host on that episode. It was really super fun, so you should check that out, as well as all our episodes. They're all on iTunes. And if you are watching live or you're listening early tomorrow morning, you can see me tomorrow afternoon on TV Fights on Screen... Screen Junkies Plus.
Good luck.
Yeah, thanks, Markeia. Markeia did it before, so I'm very much looking forward to it.
Take a lot of notes. Yeah. Come with a lot of notes.
Oh, I'm gonna come ready. So you should totally check that out and cheer me on, because I really want to win. I mean, everybody does, right? Thank you guys so much for watching. To everybody in the live chat and the hashtag, remember you can keep tweeting at us throughout the week using that hashtag ABTVSMC. And until next time, stay magical. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
In the name of the moon, I'll punish you.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.